Somewhere
293 will be sung as an invitation song after our study this morning. Good to see everyone here. It's good to be back home. And I'll tell you this. I have noticed one big change since I've gotten back. When I the first day that we were on vacation, on the beach, all the salt water, I guess in the air, my sinuses cleared up miraculously. Well, not miraculously, but you know what I mean. And anyway, I felt so good for 6 days. And I come back to Arkansas, and within 2 days, my head is so stopped up I can't breathe. And this morning, I'm trying to lose my voice. So I better quit talking about that and get on with the lesson before it goes completely out on me. But it is great. It's good to be back home. I can tell the difference in my sinuses, though. But appreciate the visitors with us this morning. Thank you for being here. And we're going to be studying about holiness. And this is a subject I think that all of us probably should give some special heed to. Some deep reflection and thought. Holiness. Sometimes we sing a song. It's in our workbook, in our songbook. It's called, More Holiness Give Me. And we'll talk about that song a little later in the lesson. But first in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. The Hebrew writer says, Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without which no one will see the Lord. So this is an essential. This is something that we must have if we're going to see the Lord. God Himself is holy. Of all of His characteristics, of all of His qualities, holiness is at the center of it. Of all of His character. It's the center of Him. Holiness. In fact, I was reading from one scholar who made the observation that nowhere in the Scripture does it say love, 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 God is love. Well, God is love, and that's certainly important. That's a part of His character. True and righteous. The Lord is all of those things. But where in the Scripture does it say true, 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 or love, 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 or right, 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 righteous, righteous, righteous? But it does say holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. We need to realize God is holy and thus God demands His people to be holy. We are commanded in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, beginning there in verse 13, be sober. We are to be holy as God is holy. Now, we're not talking about in the absolute sense. We'll explain what we're talking about as we proceed through the lesson. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter says, Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy. And most of your conduct. No, you're shaking your head. No. In all of your conduct. That's what it says. In all of your conduct. Because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. The word holy itself comes from the Greek word hagios, or some of its derivatives. And the word holy in Greek means literally to be set apart. Thus, a holy person is one who is set apart from sin to righteousness. It has in it the idea of separation. Thus, it is a separated life of which Peter is speaking in our text. Furthermore, they were not to cover up their characters as Christians by outwardly assuming a masquerade costume patterned after their former worldly garments. I am quoting from Woost. By the way, Woost Word Studies from the Greek New Testament. He makes this point. We're not to cover up. It's not just something that an inward character resides within us, but yet our body is going off and doing these other sinful things. And this is in response to the Gnostic views, and I think perhaps Peter has some of that in view, as John dealt with a lot of that. But the attitude and the character will reflect itself in our external actions. He says the second use of the word holy is in the plural. They were
to become holy ones in their personal experience. Conversation in the King James Version is a translation of the word meaning behavior. So in all of our behavior, and all of our actions, we need to be holy. That is separate from sin, separate from the world. In Hebrews chapter 12, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Listen to how the Hebrew writer goes on and he describes what he's talking about. He says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now that's going to be the opposite of holy. If I become defiled, I'm no longer holy. To be defiled is to be tainted with sin. And so put away bitterness, because this will spring up and cause you to become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, like Esau. Well, fornication and profane, that is unholy, he's talking about Christians who would claim to be Christians, but yet they would go on in sin or commit some sin, such as fornication. He compares them to Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. What Esau did in selling his birthright, he did something that he was never able to retrieve, never able to get it back. And so this is a dire warning that when we turn away from the Lord and we profane ourselves, we put ourselves in jeopardy. Lest you become like Esau. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And of course, in the context, he's dealing with those Judaizers who wanted to go back to Judaism. And in defiling themselves in that, there could be no place for salvation found. And that's the point that he's making in the context. But I think the point is clear. We need to remain holy. We need to be holy people and value that holiness and not give it up, because the reward is great. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul says there, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Now, the idea of being unequally yoked together with unbelievers is to be hitched to them, joined to them in their sinful deeds. That's what he's talking about. You have a Christian and an unbeliever who are joined together in a work. Let's say that I had someone who was an acquaintance of mine, and they called me up and wanted me to go into business with them. And I say, well, what kind of business are you going into? They say, well, I'm going into the drug business. And I say, oh, pharmaceutical? No, I'm selling cocaine. Well, wait a minute. I cannot go into business with them in that regard. Oh, that's what he's talking about. And so, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's talking about separate. Being separate from the world. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. That's sinful things. What happens when we touch that which is sinful? We defile ourselves. Come out from among those things. Don't touch them, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God, Lord Almighty. Chapter 7 and verse 1 of 2 Corinthians says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of both the flesh and the spirit. That is, of our body and our works, our deeds, and our spirit, our thoughts and our attitudes. So we need to cleanse Both the inside and the outside. In fact, that's what Jesus said. If you cleanse the inside of the outside of the cup will be clean as well. The idea there is purity and holiness. So be holy. Holiness is the quality then of being set apart from the world that we may be useful servants of God in His kingdom. That we may be useful in spreading the gospel and reaching out to others and being the influence in this world that God wants us to be. Matthew 5 and verses 13 through 16. We are the salt of the earth. We are a light to the world. And we need to be that. And if we're not holy, we can't be that. So holiness then implies purity and devotion to God. And only to God, by the way. That is that we have placed God at the top of all of our priorities. He's number one in our life. He's first above everything else. What does God want? What does God say? That's our first question when it's decision time. What does God want? Holiness implies purity and devotion. Why be holy? Well, we've already talked about some reasons, and certainly you should have inferred some reasons why we should be holy in that. But let's look at some Scripture and think about this for just a minute. We're called to be holy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we are called by the gospel, and we're called thus out of the world. Thus, being called out of the world, we are called unto God and into fellowship with Him. We are to therefore be holy. It's a holy calling. The calling itself is holy. And thus, those who are called out of the world into the body of Christ are the chosen. Ephesians 1, verse 4, we are the elect. We are elect by virtue of being in the elected one. Isaiah 42 and verse 1, Jesus Christ is the elect one. We are then elect by being in Him. And so we are the chosen in Christ, and thus we are holy. The holy are the chosen. The holy brethren, Paul calls the Hebrew brethren in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, holy brethren. As he's about to warn them about the dangers of falling away, he calls them holy brethren. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, we're spoken of as a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. We are priests. We are kings and priests in the household of God, in the temple of God. We're to be holy. In the Old Testament, priests were required to go through several rituals to purify themselves. And they could not approach God until they did those things, until they became purified. Well, we, friend, cannot approach God today unless we are purified. We're forgiven of our sins through Christ when we meet the conditions that God has set down for us. We are commanded to be holy and to live holy. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that is, demonstrate, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's our calling, to prove the Word of God, to demonstrate it, to live it before others. That's why we're told that we are to, in our bodies, live a holy life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, we've already seen, be holy for I am holy. We are commanded to be holy. We are to bear fruit of holiness. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Now, Romans chapter 6, and beginning in verse 1, Paul asked the question, can we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Well, God forbid. Absolutely not. How can we do that? We have been set apart now to serve the Lord. We cannot continue in sin and be pleasing and acceptable to God. We have to cease practicing sin. He says, know ye not that so many of you as have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Well, certainly they knew that. And that's why he had previously said, for if you have died to sin, how can you any longer live in it? You have separated yourself from that sin. You've become holy. That's the whole idea of the context. And thus, in chapter 6, he continues to talk about serving righteousness. And in verse 16, you're the servants to whomsoever ye yield yourselves servants to obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And he goes on and he emphasizes in verse 22 that fruit of righteousness is unto holiness. Holiness is necessary to see the Lord. We will not see the Lord unless we are holiness. We need to pursue that holiness and we need to perfect that holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, which we read. So our holiness, or lack of it, is going to be manifested. It's going to be evident in our actions, in our words, and our thoughts. Actions is what we see or recognize in others first. We see those things. Or we hear their words. We hear what they say. But we realize that those things are coming from their thoughts. So holiness must begin in our thoughts. That's why Paul says renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but renew your mind. So, what about us? Are we as holy as we ought to be? I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you do. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to make some quick points from a few verses from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says here in verse 1, he says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. What is your pattern of life? Who's your hero? Some of you younger folks, your hero may be, if you're a boy, it may be some baseball player or basketball player or football player. That may be your hero. That's who you want to imitate. And you spend a lot of time practicing and trying to improve your game so that you can be like that player. Or maybe it's some music star, entertainer of some kind. Maybe it's a movie star. Maybe it's just some other figures such as in politics. Maybe you've got some person out there that you want to imitate. You want to be like. Well, listen, if we're going to be servants of God, we should only have one hero, and that's God. We need to put Him as the one that we desire to imitate. Imitate God as dear children. We need to become like our Father. We need to desire to become like our Father. So what is our pattern? Who is our guide? Well, it can't be the world. Romans 12, 1-3, not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that renewing of the mind, part of that process is learning who God is. Learning more about Him and what He wants for us. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify is from the same Greek word as holy. It's hagios. Sanctify them. That is to set them apart from the world unto your service. By the truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is the means or the power by which we are sanctified, that God sanctifies us, and it should be our pattern in life, and we are to follow it. Our motivation. What is our motivation? Look at verse 2 of Ephesians 5. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. What is our motivation? Do we constantly consider the sacrifice that Christ made for us? We've observed the Lord's Supper this morning. Oh, Father, let us see His death. And as we focus on the death, the sacrifice of Christ, does that move us to desire to be holy? Remember, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, just below where he says, be holy for I am holy. He says, for you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your aimless conduct. No, what were you redeemed by? The precious blood of Christ. You've been bought with a high price. You're to live in view of that. You're valuable. So we need to value what Christ has done for us. Does the love of Christ motivate us? Do we consider that Christ has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering of a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma? So therefore we desire to imitate Christ and follow after His example. God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. And He's extended salvation to us. But my friend, listen. The only ones who will be saved are those who pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We must pursue holiness, separation from sin, and fellowship, unity with God. Our practices and desires. Notice in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Saints, by the way, are set apart ones. They are holy ones. Not some fellow who's died several years ago and the Catholic clergy get together and they decide, you know, the higher ups, they decide, well, this person is a saint. And then they canonize that or whatever they do. But Christians are saints. We are holy ones. And we're to live holy lives. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Our practice and desires. What do we do? How do we live our life? Are we living in such a way that glorifies God? Or, as He lists some sins here, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, those kinds of things. Those are not holy actions, are they? So we must put those things away. And even put those desires away. And we must put on Christ. You go back to chapter 4, beginning there in verse 17, we're to put on the new man. And you go over to Colossians chapter 3, and verses 5 through 17, we're to put off the old man and we're to put on the new man. And you can go back and you can study that and you can see the difference in the actions, the lifestyles of these two different groups of people. Those who live in the flesh are not holy. And if you don't care whether you're holy or not, then just keep on living that way. But you're not going to heaven like that. You stand under the condemnation of God. Put those things away. Serve the Lord. And put on Christ. That's where holiness is. And our words. Words of holiness or words of hatred, dishonesty, perversion, filth. What about our words? What do our words say about us? To speak in such a way that brings harm to another person, dishonesty, perversion of what is right and true, be cursing or what have you. Our words. What about our words? Some more thoughts quickly, though. What about our favorite associates? What does our association say about us and our holiness or lack of it? I mean, Jesus, yes. He associated with sinners, didn't he? With publicans and sinners. He was criticized for that. It's not necessarily... That's not the idea. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm asking, really, who do we care or desire more to be around? People that are ungodly or people that are godly? Certainly we should come in contact with and associate with sinners so that we can help them, influence them, teach them, if possible, and try to help them. Who do we rather be around? The sinners or the righteous? Our clothing. What does our clothing say about us? We're to dress modestly. By the way, that's not just for women. That's for men too. We're to dress modestly. And modestly, whether it be gaudy clothing or sexually provocative clothing, either way is wrong. Our clothing. What does our clothing say about us? Or places we frequent or for enjoyment. Where did we rather go? And by the way, this doesn't have to be somewhere that's sinful in and of itself to go, or something, you know, that's just absolutely terrible. I mean, had we rather go to a football game than we had go to worship? Had we rather go somewhere else and be in, and enjoy some, doing something besides serving the Lord? Or how we spend our time. Now, time is something everyone has the same amount of each day. That is, until the last one. And that clock certainly may be different for each one of us. But each day that we're blessed with living, we all have the same amount of time. How do we spend that time? And certainly, God does not expect us to spend our entire day and every minute, every waking minute, for example, just reading Scripture, praying, because then we would absolutely get nothing done. We would be influenced to no one. There are relationships involved. There are other responsibilities and duties involved. There are requirements that I have to fulfill and things of that nature that will affect my relationship with others. But how do I spend my time? Had I rather spend my time doing that which is wrong? Or had I rather spend my time doing that which is right? Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. The idea of redeeming the time is the idea of walking circumspectly. Walking carefully in all that I do. Making certain that what I do is acceptable and pleasing to God. Whatever I do in my day. The influence we have on others. What kind of influence do I have? Am I a positive influence for God? Or am I a negative influence? Where our true values and affections lie. I mean, do we truly value the things that are spiritual more than the things that are material? It takes faith. It takes faith. It takes a spiritual mind to see things from a spiritual perspective. Where are our true values and affections? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. So don't set your treasures on things of the earth, Jesus says in Matthew 6, beginning there in verse 24. But, you know, the song that we sometimes sing, "More Holiness Give Me," this song was written by a man named Philip Bliss, born July 9th, 1838, in Rome, Pennsylvania. He died December 29th, 1876, Ashtabula, Ohio. He lived for 38 years, 5 months, 20 days. It is said of Mr. Bliss that if his life had not been snuffed out at such a young age, he would have been the most well-known, well-recognized musician and especially religious songwriter in history. That's very likely. He wrote many, many songs in his short life. He began, actually, when he was in his teens. He actually left home and began full-time work when he was 11 years old. Philip Bliss, also, he's the one who wrote the music to the song that we often sing, written by Mr. Spafford. The song that we sing, what's the name of that song? We sing it all the time. Number 526 in our songbooks. I think it's 626. "It Is Well With My Soul." I don't know why I had a mental block on. Of all songs, that song. He wrote the music to that song after Mr. Spafford was killed. Well, Philip Bliss died in a train wreck on his way to worship. And anyway, he wrote this song along with many others. This song has within it 24 attributes every Christian should desire more of. I want to take just a few minutes as we close the lesson this morning and think about the words of this song. Just think about this. When you look at this first statement, there are 24 statements in this song that we need to think about. Number one, more holiness give me. Just simply ask this, is this your desire? Do you want to be more and more separate from the world and more closer to God? More and more like God? Is that your prayer? By the way, this song was written as a prayer. Mr. Bliss wrote this song. This was his prayer. Is this your prayer? More holiness, give me. More striving within. That is, we're examining ourselves. We are going through the turmoil within ourselves to cause us to be more like God. We are heading in a direction that is cleansing. Striving within. More patience in suffering. More patience in suffering. Like Christ. We suffer, but we persevere through that suffering. And we keep our minds focused on the things that are spiritual. As Paul taught in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. More sorrow for sin. Do we desire to see sin as God sees it? I mean, really? Or do we try to justify it? We try to water it down so it doesn't appear so bad. More sorrow for sin. That is a conscience that is more easily pricked. More faith in my Savior. More faith in Christ. A stronger dependence and a stronger desire to serve my Savior. More sense of His care. Do I realize that Jesus died for me? And He did that so that I could be saved. More sense of His care. More joy in His service. More joy in His service. I hope that you're not one of those fellows or ladies who get up on Sunday mornings and say, "Oh, it's Sunday again. Got to go to Bible study. Got to go to worship." I hope that's not you. I hope more joy in His service. If that is you, then you certainly need to pray this prayer. You need to mean this. More joy in His service. Doing the things that God would have me to do. More purpose in prayer. More purpose in prayer. Prayer should be a part of all of our lives, but more purpose in prayer. Not only setting a time and a place and making it a habit, but also then more purpose in your prayers and praying for the things that are beneficial and needing by others. And so more purpose in prayer. More gratitude give me. Thankfulness. No matter what our station in life may be, you know what? We all have many blessings to give thanks for. We have been blessed. So more gratitude give me. Especially, okay, maybe there's nothing in your life that is good materially. I don't think that's true, but just maybe that's true. That there's nothing good in your life materially. Everything's going south in your life. My friend, Jesus Christ died for you. And if you obey Him, then you have heaven eternally. So, give God thanks for the blessings that you do have. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. More trust in the Lord. More trust, knowing that He's going to be there with you to help you. And to strengthen you. We need to get the mindset that Paul taught us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. and follow. You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? More trust in the Lord. More pride in His glory. My friend, you know, we may take pride in the success of our hero, whoever it may be. Oh, do you know what so-and-so batted last night? I don't care. But you know what? Jesus Christ has been raised to sit at the right hand of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Do we point to that? Are we happy about that? More pride in His glory. Not mine. But more pride in His glory. More hope in His Word. Trusting His Word. Knowing that His Word is true. And thus, of course, study it. And when God makes a promise, He means it. God cannot lie, Titus 1, 1 and 2. God can't lie. More tears for His sorrows. That is, we reflect upon what He did for us. And it moves us. Emotionally, it moves us. More pain at His grief. More meekness in trial. That is, we realize we are under a trial in which we need to be in control. That's what meekness is. A humility that is under control even in the midst of trial. It's something that we need in difficult situations. More control. More praise for relief when relief does come. We give God thanks and give Him the glory. And finally, in the last verse, more purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth strains, more longings for home. Do we truly desire more purity? To be more pure each day. More strength to overcome. And by the way, the strength is arrived through faith. Faith is derived through the Word of God. So, we study, we believe, and we continue to grow, and thus we are able to overcome temptations in our life. More freedom from earth stains. We become more and more disassociated with the things that are sinful in the world. And more longing for home. We're like those Hebrew pilgrims in Hebrews chapter 11. Who are looking at the homeland that is before them. Not where they are. They realize they're just pilgrims of passing through. More longing for home. More fit for the kingdom. If we become as God desires that we become, requires that we become, then He can use us. But not until. More fit for the kingdom. More useful I'd be. More. Do you want to be more useful in the kingdom? Some have the attitude that, well, I'm doing this. That's enough. That's enough. Let somebody else do it. That's enough. More useful I'd be. More fit for the kingdom, more useful I'd be. More blessed and holy. More blessed and holy. When we serve the Lord as He's commanded, blessings will flow. Yes. Not necessarily material blessings, but spiritual blessings. Yes, we'll be blessed and holy. We'll be what God wants us to be. We'll be more like Jesus. Do we desire more holiness? Do we desire that we be more useful in the service of God? More purity, devotion, loyalty, godliness? Can we sing this song and truly mean it? Can you sing this song and truly mean it? This song, tell you what, let's sing it. Let's sing this song, but only if we can mean it. If we can't mean it, let's not sing it. Let's be honest with ourselves. And I hope that this song will help us. And we have the same attitude that Mr. Bliss had. Because this is the attitude that God wants us to have. Don't you think? More holiness give me.
As we sing this song, again, you know, we sometimes sing songs and we don't really focus on the words, but after we have looked at this song, hopefully we will stop and think about what we're singing.
Do me more holiness, give me more strivings within, more patience and suffering, more sorrow for sin, more faith in my Savior, more sense of His care, more joy in His service, more purpose in prayer, more gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord.
Comes to desiring to do and be what God wants us to do and be. That's not always an easy thing. We may desire it, but that doesn't mean it's not automatic. It doesn't just happen. So, direction is very important. I want to do what's right. That's an important first step. And that may be a process, and perhaps a more difficult process for some than others. And maybe you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel. Well, I want to inform you of some bad news. You are not holy by any stretch of the imagination. You are separate and apart from God, not the world. And you need to become holy. You need to become a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that is accomplished when we, by faith, put on Jesus Christ in baptism. Repent of our sins. That is to have a change of mind towards sin. Have a change of mind towards sinful actions. And I don't want to serve sin anymore. I want to serve Jesus. That's what repentance is. So really, that's that direction that I'm talking about. So maybe you're here this morning and you are not in Christ. You need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Then you need to live for Him. And if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be right with God and go to heaven for eternity, that's something you must do. A Christian may defile himself along the journey. He may turn away from the Lord. If
you're here this morning and you have once obeyed the gospel, but you're not living a holy life. Repent. Confess. If it's something that you know, or maybe just you and someone else know, you know, I don't believe that confession needs to be made any broader than what the sin is known. But whatever your case may be this morning, you need to take care of it. You need to be holy so that God can use you in His service. This congregation needs everybody pulling together for the Lord and working and serving as holy children of God. Maybe you're here and we can help you. Won't you come, Mr.